this and that. Speaking about Edel is not so simple. There's a problem. Best way to explain it is, I guess the best way is to explain the problem. I have to tell a story that happened to myself. When I was around, I don't know exactly how old, 15, 16, so a while ago, I decided Yom Kippur. I got very motivated, probably my first serious Yom Kippur, and there was a certain issue, remember, that I had a habit that I didn't think was so proper, and I made up my mind, okay, gonna change, that's it. And I really made a real kabbalah and everything, and I was so proud of myself that, you know, that's it. The tshuva, Baruch Hashem, the kabo. And it probably lasted about a day or two. And about a day or two later, I was back to where I started. And I was devastated. Like, here, I thought I did this great, wonderful tshuva. Okay. And, you know, so I felt phony, worthless, wasted the whole Yom Kippur. Now I'm going to try again next year. What's the point? Last year was no good. I'm going to do it again. There's no point. So, okay, I was 15, 16, I don't know exactly. So there's a number of things I did not know. And I just want to maybe correct some of the errors that I made. There's a number of errors, but okay, I don't have this time for all of them. The first error is, I heard this from Rav Shadrach. He said that a person who makes a kabbalah that I'm going to be a tzaddik, he says he's a fool. It's hard to be a tzaddik. You know, it takes years of work. It takes years of work. You have to, it's a process. It says, I was a fool. I made a kabbalah. You know, my wife always tells a story. When I lived in Israel, and she wanted to get my son, my oldest son, to learn English. She didn't want to go. So she told him, listen, you go take English lessons. You have all these English books. You'll be able to read them. So he went to his first English lesson. He came home, he picked up a book, he couldn't read it. What's going on here? He told me I could read the books. Right? Boy, he thinks he goes to one English lesson, he can read the books. So you think you make one kabbalah, you'll be ready, fix everything, you'll become a tzaddik. Shadron said, that's a fool. It's a long process. Pshat is, that in itself, that you're taking the first step, and if that's what you're supposed to be doing, that is in itself the step in the right direction, that's already considered a kabbalah osir, charata avar. You know, the mashal they give, if you go like if the Romans, they would have this like battering ram that they would, if you come to a walled city and they wanted to break down the wall. So they get all the soldiers, they would pick up this giant, you know, tree, whatever, and they would go running full speed against in the wall. And what inevitably would happen is nothing. And I don't think it's so enjoyable running full steam into a wall. And then, to make matters worse, while you're dizzy, they're pouring boiling hot oil on top of your heads. You're shooting arrows down on you, right? So now you come back, you retreat, and the person in charge says, okay, we're gonna do it again. Say, they're crazy. Do it again. Nothing happened. But the answer is, of course, something did happen. It's not noticeable to the eye. And on the outside surface, the wall is just as strong as it was before. But the one time you bang it hard, it weakens inside. It's crumbling. You bang it a second time. You bang it a third time. Eventually, it's going to crumble. And that's the way it is in working on yourself, too. To expect that the first time you're going to succeed, depends. If it's a very easy Yetzirah, maybe yes, but in many things, it takes numerous times, and that itself is the process. So you really are making a kabbalah wa'asid harat, and because you're going in the proper process. Many people say this, that this is really considered could be considered even a tshuva shalema, because you're made that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So this was probably the first thing I did not know. But the second thing that I didn't know, which is perhaps very interesting, there's a sefer here, sefer HaMa'abid, from the Ma'abid. It's called Beis HaRokin. The Ma'abid was in the time of Rav Yosef Kairos, it was an early Achron, 1500s. And he says as follows, that tshuva is einam kishar mitzvahs. The mitzvah of tshuva is different than other mitzvahs. Most mitzvahs have certain gidrei of the mitzvahs. If you don't, if you go ahead and you buy an esrog, and it's almost perfect, except it's a little bit, there's a little hole. Well, sorry. Almost, it's paso. Paso is paso. You know what I mean? Your tefillin is almost perfect. You got 3 out of 4 parshas. You got most of your tzitzis, right? So if it's paso, it's paso. There's no such thing as partial credit by most mitzvahs. There's more mahadrin, but there's a certain cutoff point that if you don't fulfill the takdinim, it's zero. He says tshuva is not like that. Tshuva, no matter how much you do, there's partial credit. It's an amazing thing. So there's no reason to ever get down or feel that I wasted. Because even, no matter what, the smallest amount, partial credit. Rabbeinu Yonah says this also. Some of these little nuances, differences between the two way they say it. But basically, the idea that there's tshuva, he says, is different than other mitzvahs. You have the same thing in the mitzvah of Ahavta Re'acha Kamayicha. Now, I don't know how many people are fulfilling the Ahavta Re'acha Kamayicha. That means that we get no credit at all, because I don't have the level of Ahava, because Kamayicha. There's this, the Ahavta Re'acha Kamayicha. Kamayicha is what, where you're supposed to reach. But what if you don't reach Kamayicha? You reach Ahavta Re'acha, half Kamayicha. So you get half credit. There's degrees. There's certain mitzvahs that there's partial credit. So he says, the Ma'abid, that tshuva is one of those mitzvahs. There is a very, very fascinating topic, to the extent that that goes. There's a sefer here, Mogen Avos, from Shlomo Kluger, on Pirkei Avos. And he says, he has the famous question. There's a Mishnah, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chayet Ve'olam Haba. Okay, there are a few chutzes, which usually everyone leaves that out, but okay. But Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chayet Ve'olam Haba. So this question is, how could that be? There are Rishon out there. People that are doing Averis, constantly doing Averis, Ganovim, whatever. People that are doing, they used to say that in Europe there was the town Ganov. Everyone knew it was a town Ganov in the little shtetl. So there were people that were known. They were living their lives by Averis. So how can you say, Kol Yisrael Yesh? He's not in one of the chutz. He's not an Apikairis. So he says an amazing thing. He says, because there's a chazal that says, Posha Yisrael Mileim Charatis. That a person in Klal Yisrael, even if he does an Avera, he has a tinge of conscience. He feels a drop bad. How long does that last? A minute. Half a minute. Quarter of a minute. Does it affect his behavior? If he's the town Ganov, he's still going to be the town Ganov. But he feels a little bit bad. He says, Yafe shor achas v'tshuva ma'isen toivim be'olam hazeh mikol chayim hazeh. So he says, how much is shor achas? He says, af risha Yisrael he v'tshuva shor achas. Every risha Yisrael has shor achas v'tshuva. What is shor achas lat af v'shor? Rak zman mu'et. K'mash shor dev gai shmur l'choy. The shor achas means even a second. So he's basically saying that the reason why Poshe Yisrael have a Chayeg Yom Haba, even though in order to be a Chayeg Yom Haba, according to the Sforim, you have to have the famous scale, they make a Rosh Hashanah, the kids come home from school, you have to have more mitzvahs than Averis. So how can the Poshe Yisrael have more Averis than mitzvahs? Terah says he has a tinge of tshuva. A tinge of tshuva, even though he doesn't act on it, doesn't change his behavior, but that reduces his averis to the point, not that he's not going to be punished at all, but to the point that he becomes a bar olam haba, a point that it changes the scale. that his mitzvahs go up and his averas go down. So it's the same idea that he didn't do, you know, sure he did not do a vow at Kabbalah or Asin. He surely did not do an Aziva Sechet. He's still doing the same averas. Still has his sign on the door, Yankel the Ganav. Anyone who needs a, you know, professional Ganav, come here. But the fact that he has this tinge of Harata, he's already tshuva. So it's a very big yisai that tshuva, there's partial credit. Every thought, it's a quote from a Zohar, that there's no hargosha that's ever lost. Every thought that a person has value. That is the first mistake that I made. So therefore, you know, there was no, or there was a second mistake. So there's no reason to have been down. Now, practically speaking, I just want to move on a little bit. What are we supposed to do? In other words, if we're saying that it's very difficult, if the person has a bad habit, it's very difficult to change it on a dime. So what are you supposed to do, practically speaking? So there is a Rabbeinu Yonah in the beginning of Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah is a Rishon. He has a Stirim Tukim, that there's one pasuk in Mishlei that says that Moedev Oizev Yerukim, she says that means that you're supposed to have Charata. First step in tshuva is to feel bad. And then the oizeh means then you have aziva sechet, you stop doing the aveira. But there's another pasuk, which is a very famously well-known pasuk, Yazov Rosh Darko Vish Oven Yachshavayso V'yosher Hashem. So the first step is Yazov Rosh Darko, which says that the first step is to stop doing the aveira. And then you do the tshuva. So what comes first? Are you first supposed to feel charata and then stop? Or do you first stop and then do charata? So we would think, of course, you have to first feel bad, and then, if you don't feel bad, you can't stop. But he says the opposite, of course, because what we think is usually wrong. He says that a person who is doing averas numerous times, it's almost impossible for him to really feel that the avera is so bad. Because it's a human nature that once you do something many times, you begin to feel, the Gemara calls it nasa lo keheter, you begin to feel it can't be so bad. The proof is not so bad, I do it. Proof, it can't be so bad. If it was so bad, I wouldn't be doing it. So the fact that I do it makes the person feel it's not so bad. Everybody does it. You know, that's what you assume. I do it, everybody does it. Because if I do it, everyone else must be doing it too. So it's not can't be so bad. Hashem doesn't expect you not to do it. So it's very there. Rabbeinu Yonah says this, that a person who is doing an Aveira says more than twice, which is pretty prevalent. A person who does an Aveira more than twice is considered, he says, the first step cannot be Charata. You can't have real Charata because you can't really appreciate how bad the Aveira is. So the first step is aziva sechet. You have to first stop. Then when you stop, go ahead, and then you can understand why it's bad. I know people, they say in chinuch, I remember I had someone who was giving a course in chinuch. He was a principal in a girls' seminary. He says when the girls come to him and they say, I don't understand why we have to dress neistically. You know, my whole life I dress this way. Why do I have to dress, you know, with my skirt down to my knees, whatever? He says, listen, I'll explain it to you later. Meanwhile, just do it now for a month, then we'll talk. He says, after a month, they don't come back. Why? First, you stop. Then you understand on your own why you have to do it. So the when it comes in many answers, the Rabbeinu Yonah says that you have to have the order of tshuva is not charata first. Charata is last. First is to stop. Now comes a big problem. How do you stop if you don't feel bad? If you don't really feel that the aveira is so terrible, how do you stop? So one answer is a person can be driven. Okay, it's not so bad, but I want to be a tzaddik. I'm not saying it's the worst thing in the world, but of course the tzaddikim don't do it, so I'm motivated to stop because I want to be a tzaddik. But there is a second answer, which is what I wanted to say, which I think is much more prevalent for us. There's a Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin brings a Maisa that there was a person who went ahead. His name was Rav Tzadik. And there was a certain, I think it was a traveling salesman, whatever. And he went ahead, and there was a certain Matrinusa that went ahead, and she tried to get into Mizana with her. And he was sort of like stuck. She was like pressing him, and he was locked him up, locked in the room, whatever. So he said, he told her, I would consider it. I mean, I don't know if he said, I can't do it because I'm hungry. I don't have any energy. I need something to eat. So she went ahead and she prepared some chazer. That's what she had in the house, non-kosher food. So he went ahead, and then he went ahead and he obviously refrained from eating the chazer. And in fact, he went ahead and he jumped into the oven with the chazer. And he said that, if I'm mezana with you, that's what would happen. And he obviously was not mezana. So there's an early Achron who explains, what was this? What was he going ahead? Why did he ask for something to eat? He just thought of not being mezana. So he says an amazing insight. He said, Rav Tzadik, as a normal tzadik, did not trust himself. Here he has his traveling, it's very hard nisayin. It's a hard nisayin. So he's afraid he might be nichshol. So he needs energy. He needs his weedy, so to speak. He needs an injection to get the inner strength to overcome this nisayin of not being nichshol with a woman who's enticing him. So how does he get that? He says, give me some food. He knew she's going to offer him chazer. What else does she have in the house? Chazer, he has no big taiva for. Chazer is going to be easy. That he can say no to. Saying no to chazer is a mitzvah. Doing a mitzvah is an injection. Gives him energy. I just did a mitzvah. I just said no to chazer. If I said no to chazer, I can say no to you too. So the insight is that sometimes the way to give yourself the strength to stop doing Avera A is by stop not to do Avera B, or by doing Mitzvah B. The way the mashal they give, if you're trying to get into the house, you want to break into a house, and you come to the front door, and it's locked, and it's a steel door. So we're going to try and break down the door. But there's a much easier way. Just walk around the back, and you'll find the back door open, or climb through a window, right? Sometimes the front door, there's this Yetzirah that's very hard. There's this Matrinusa, there's this woman, she's tempting you. It's such so hard to resist. But it's easy to resist Chazer. That's the back door. But if you do the other mitzvah, that gives you energy. How did that play out in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? If there are mitzvahs that we can do that are not so difficult, but by doing those mitzvahs, they raise our level and help us. Not only do we get those mitzvahs, but they help us to avoid the averas that we're doing too. So, for example, if a person has a certain, he's nichshol in whatever he's nichshol in, right? Whatever it is. We tell you, okay, you want to stop? Come to share. Make a seder. Come to the Daf Yomi. Well, what does that have to do with my problem, Rabbi? It's not my problem. That is your problem, because if you come to the Daf Yomi, if you come to the Shir, if you learn more Torah, we believe Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. Every mitzvah gives you Kedusha. That's what the bracha. We make a bracha. Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. Every mitzvah gives a person Kedusha. You get Kedusha. You get Kedusha. You'll be more likely to avoid this Avera. Right? There are many, there are yeshivas, especially in Eretz Yisrael. I know they're a little unusual, but that's their shita. They have to take bachrim who are and troubled, and they're doing things that are not so kosher. And the shita of the yeshiva is they do not discipline them. They let the bachrim continue in their things, but get them into learning. And they find a tremendous success rate. The guys get into learning, they get a connection with their Abayim, and the Mela, they go ahead and they stop the Aveiras. The Yeshiva that saw my Rebbe used to give a mashal. He used to say that a person who is a tremendous hitter, he has a natural talent for hitting in baseball. Every time he gets up to bat, he hits a home run. But he's a horrible fielder. Now he wants to get into the major leagues. What should he do? He's not going to take a guy in the major leagues that can't field. He says, no, big mistake. It's because he works on his fielding. There's a reason why he's a bad fielder, because it's against his teva. He'll work on his fielding. He'll be okay, half decent. He's not working on his hitting, so he'll stay where he is. He's not going to make it to the major leagues. Since what he should do, he has a natural talent for hitting, work on hitting. Work on practicing being the best hitter in the world. That's working with his strength. He worked with his strength, he'll do tremendous. He'll be in the papers. This guy's amazing. Every time he gets up to bat, he hits a home run. It's amazing. The scouts are going to come. They'll take it. They want him. So once they take him to the major leagues, they'll make sure he knows how to field. They'll work it out. It'll be Mimeda. You get into the major leagues, you're going to have to know how to field. But you got to find your key, your Pesach, your doorway, the way to get into the major leagues. The way to get in is sometimes to use the positive mitzvahs, and especially the positive mitzvahs of your strength. And especially if it's a Talmud Torah connected Kulam, which has Kedusha, for sure. But the answer what we're saying is that sometimes, obviously, if it's an easy Yetzirah, so then if a person has, you just stop the Yetzirah, okay? But if a person has a very, very difficult Yetzirah, which he finds it very difficult to stop, sometimes, not saying you should accept it, I'm not going to stop, Chas v'Sham, you can't do that. But your plan B, so to speak, is I'll try and stop. Obviously, you have to try and stop. But my plan B is that I'm going to try and move up in other areas that I'm good in. I'm going to try and increase my hasmada. I'm going to try and go to learn, have a seder and learning. I'm going to try and do maybe improve my davening. Person has to know himself what he's naturally good in and work on improving in what he's naturally good in. And therefore feel uplifted, spiritually uplifted, and it's logical and it's mystical. Shir Kiddushanim and Mitzvot. Once you become uplifted, then you go ahead and you Mimeda go ahead and become on a higher level, and you're able to handle those nisyonos that you thought yesterday that couldn't be done. You find that you can do it. I just want to have, I don't know, I lost the time, but just one more minute, if you give me a minute. There's one other Eitzah that's brought for a very hard Nisayan. It's a famous Navardic Eitzah. The Navardic Eitzah is, I like it very much, is that if you have a heavy train and there's a skinny little bridge, and it's obviously the train can't go up, the bridge can't hold the train. So how does the train get across the bridge? So the Navardic Mashal is you roar up the engine and then you zoom across the bridge. He says the bridge will collapse because it can't hold the weight. But by the time it collapsed, you're already on the other side. So the mashal is, he says, there are certain times, obviously most times not, but sometimes, and you can figure it out, where you can go ahead, once you did it, you did it. You know, we had a guy, remember I was a Rebbe, went in Eretz Yisrael, there's a guy that had a whole bunch of, like, came to Eretz Yisrael with a library of books that weren't kosher. So I told him, you know, before Rosh Hashanah, I spoke to him, you know, it's not proper. He says, okay, you're right, I'm going to put the books, lock them up in my suitcase. I said, why are you locking up in your suitcase? Why don't you throw them out? Throw them out in a week after Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to change my mind, I'm going to want them. That's not the way to do it. You dare have to go ahead and throw them out. Take all the books, throw them out. You got your whatever person has something. You know, I tell the guys in Yeshiva, you got your computer, throw it out, whatever, you know. Whatever it is, you take your something, throw it out. You get yourself roared up, you get your engine motivated, and once you do it, you're less likely to go ahead and buy another one. If you don't throw it out, then you're stuck. But there's certain nisyonos that a person, if he can go ahead and make the one step. Sometimes you can figure out a way that you do one effort and then it's out. So therefore, again, so working on tshuva, just summary, even though there are certain nishanas that are very difficult, and sometimes we want to give up almost. We tried, we don't succeed, and we try again, we don't succeed. So first thing is we have to know there's such a thing as partial credit, and there's no reason, even if we don't succeed, partial credit is an amazing thing. If you get 50% off, that's an amazing thing. You know, that's amazing. Second thing we have to know is that they combined, and eventually, Be'ez Hashem, that's the Derech HaChayim, is like we were saying with the battery ram. Even though you don't succeed today, things add up, and eventually you do succeed. And then the third thing is that there's an Eitzah, is by trying to go ahead and find other positive things to do, which you go ahead and the Meda through the back door will raise your level. Person really should find that. I think that's really one of the most important, that during Elul and Yom Kippur, a person should make some commitment of some positive mitzvah, which is biyada, which he knows it's in his personality that he can fulfill, because many people make kabbalas of things that they don't fulfill, and then the last, and it doesn't really help them that much. It's much more positive to make a kabbalah of something that you know you can do that fits into your personality, and Be'ez Hashem, that will bring you to the tshuva. And the last thing is that for certain inyanim, there is an Eitzah of the Navarik Eitzah of making a one-time drawing up your engine, and then you avoid stop the Aveir altogether.